Welcome to Bedknobs and Broomflicks, the podcast that talks about witches, man-witches, warlocks, sorcerers, and other magic practitioners in movies, television, comic books, books, and just about everything. We also talk about heroic and just plain awesome animals as our fair familiars and witches in history. And sorry, this show will include spoilers. You have been warned. My name is Jane. I belong to no guild.
And this year, fucking balls.
That's how we record every year.
Episode. my name is Linda, but you can call me an alehouse or Adderlands alehouse cheddar cheese. There we go.
And this week, we're covering the Assassin's Blade series from Throne of Glass. I know, shut up. Linda makes the schedules the show notes, by the way, or the agenda. And she decided that, of course, since I'm introducing the episode, she wrote down the title of what we're introducing. And instead of writing Assassin's Blade, she wrote Ass Blade. And I am really glad I read ahead before I started recording, because that was about, you know, 2 minutes of giggles that, you know, is not recorded. And me saying a lot of fuck you.
I'm super tired and it just keeps making me giggle. So I decided that was the title of the episode.
Anyways, so the Assassin's Blade series is more a collection of the novellas, series of prequels that Miss Sarah J. Moss wrote. Kind of like both Selena as an assassin. So we're going to be I'm assuming you agree that we're going to be calling her Selena, because that's what she's going by, even though we all know her as Aelin. And then there's kind of like this little like character pieces. And yeah, so it's not, I will say, it's not witch heavy. It's not very, very witch heavy. So
no, there's like a little bit.
There's little tiny snippets, and I'm kind of curious about one of them. Like, I'm curious if it will come back up later on, but I think we're just going to take each novella into little chunks, explain the plot real quick, and then kind of talk about our thoughts. So that was my idea, and I'm assuming Linda's going to go along with it, because I said it out loud now, and now it's set in stone.
I guess so. So let's talk about the Assassin's Blade. first off, we have the assassin and the pirate lord,
and this kind of introduces you, because in the previous book we get introduced to the pirate lord, and there's clearly a lot of
Rolf,
a sexy pirate lord. Rolf,
sexy pirate with sexy pirate pants.
It's the because they always mention in the book when they meet up with him is you know, I didn't want to see you, you know. Rolf's like, I don't want to see your face anymore, you cost me. And Selena's all like, yeah, F you, I fucked you up. And now we get to hear that story of how she completely fucked him over, which a noble reason to fuck him over, because him and Aerobin decided to participate in the slave trade. And this tells the story of how her and Sam, Team Sam forever. I'm just going to say that right now. Sam.
Hell yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah. We're going to have a long conversation about Sam later. But her and Sam basically rescue and free all the slaves that Rolf is going to be sending over to Aerobin and make them a shit ton of money. So that's that story. And it's a nice little setup. It's a cute little story of like how they got started and how Sam and Selena got started. And of course, the big, huge trope that's popular in the Sarah J. Maas series, which is... Linda, do you want to say it? Because we keep talking about it.
Where did I have this, like, listed? But as usual, it's love that starts off as hate. And it's with every Sarah J. Maas book. And it makes me want to write to her and say, are you okay? You all right?
and it doesn't even make sense. It's not like, in Selena's case, it's like a competition, because Selena's clearly like Aerobin's favorite in the Assassin's Guild, and Sam is kind of following up really close behind her in that favoritism. So I think for her it's a competition. For Sam, it's like, I don't know why you're treating me like this.
Well, and they kind of like later go into it about like how Arabin kind of raised all of them to be against each other.
Yeah. Well, and speaking of raising, it's also it's hinted at kind of throughout the entire series of novellas, but never confirmed, is that it is a possibility that Sam is Arabin's son.
Yeah,
there's some heavy hints at that later. Yeah, there's some heavy hints at that, but even then, it's like I don't know if they ever prove this. And again, it may be one of those things that comes up in Kingdom of Ash, but at the same time, it's like, who the hell gives a shit at this point? Everyone involved in that scenario is dead. Who does that help? Yeah. But no, they were and they are trained to basically fight and compete against each other because that's how cults work, everybody. FYI, that is one of the signs of a cult. I'm not saying it's in every cult, but it's definitely one.
So if you're in a situation where that's happening,
you might be in a cult.
I like how we're kind of making it like a you might be a redneck type of thing. Like, if you're in a family that's not really a family but calls themselves a family,
you might be in a cult. If the person in charge starts telling you to tattoo their name on certain private parts of your body, you might be in a cult.
In your bikini areas.
You guys,
might be in a cult.
If the leader of the cult asks you to give up all of your wives to him, you might be in a cult.
If the leader of your group is saying that they and only they talk to God, you might be in a cult. I think we need a new podcast.
It's like the same thing.
You might be in a cult.
I mean, it would actually be an area that I would love to investigate of serious cult activity.
Oh my God, me too. I was like so close to studying cults in college, but my stupid friends talked me into staying in the program that I was in, the theater program. Like, God damn it. Stupid friends.
Can I ask you, what exactly would you do for a career upon getting out of cult studies?
I mean, start a cult? What did I do with the theater studies? I mean, what did I do?
I mean, touche, but... I'm just saying, like, the only thing I could think of if you took those studies would be like, this is how I'm going to learn how to start a cult. But I'm going to do it right.
I mean,
we're not going to Heaven's Gate this thing. I'm going to do it right.
That was kind of my plan at the time. But I mean, it still kind of is. But I mean, Donnie, delete that part. I would never start a cult. If I ever start a fan club, you guys, it's not a cult. Like, it's totes not a cult. Trust me.
Find us on Bedknobs and Broomflix and subscribe to our pamphlets.
Send us all your worldly goods through Patreon.
If all of you contribute just one... Oh, no, that's a Ponzi scheme. One second, I'm getting those confused. By the way, it might also sound like a Ponzi scheme. It could also be a cult.
We need to have the girls from Book of Lies on for that episode.
Anyways, back to the pirate.
Oh, yeah, what are we talking about today?
Oh, that was a good probably 5-10 minutes there.
Sorry, Donnie.
Keep it in. Anyway, so it's, and again, these, I don't think we're going to go too long on these because, again, the main trope is obviously that you got Selena and Sam basically bickering, fighting with each other, but they come together and help free the slaves from the slave ship. And they have some moments where it's like, okay, respect, man, respect. Mm. So, I mean, I don't know what else to say about it besides the fact that this is kind of the beginning of where everything does fall apart for Selena.
Yeah, I feel like in Assassin's Blade, she really has like this it's all about like her growth, mm-hmm. and becoming who we see her as later. And in this part, she's kind of living it up as Adeline's assassin, but she really starts to show her more humane side and starts to she has this persona of Adeline's assassin, Selena, and that, like, her mask starts to slip.
Yeah, it's, well, because she's built up a reputation where she's just mm-hmm. a cutthroat killer. You know, like, everybody believes that, you know, nobody will be safe if there's a contract out for you and Selena has it. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter, like, and it's clearly no, it's showing that she has had these morals and these beliefs in humanity. Because even, because if you look back at Throne of Glass, I mean, her entire motivation when she's competing in the competition is, mm-hmm. I'm going to win, I'm going to get money, I'm going to work for 5 years, I'm going to get the F out of here. Yeah. But you see that, and it's, at first it's like, okay, is the growth that she's, you know, she's having these, developing these friendships, like, oh no, she's always been there. It's just, you know, mm-hmm. when you look at this whole 5-story series, you kind of see where she kind of shut down in a way. Because,
well, I feel like before this, she just kind of gave in and was like, this is who I am now. And I'm just going to be the stone cold killer. And I work for Erebin. And I'm the best of the best, and I'm going to be his heir and his protege. And, you know, this is my life now, so fuck it.
I do think that was a part of her, though, because, I mean, one of the things that she talks about is paying off her debt, because she owes a debt for all the training, all the food, all the pretty stuff that she gets, all the special weapons that she gets from Erebin. So there is also that motivation that she's had underneath. So,
well, all the assassins and the
guild,
but also the courtesans, they all have these debts to Erebin and
Clarissa.
What's her face? Yeah, Clarissa.
Yeah, the courtesans, or to Clarissa. It's one of the
Clarissa
things.
Darling.
Sorry. The dark side of Melissa Joan Hart.
Like we didn't know there was one.
But I think that this definitely gives her more humanity, like, because she goes into Andovi. And again, spoiler alert, Sam dies. But I think we've all known that because she definitely is holding on to that candle for a while. But this is the lead up to that. All these individual stories kind of lead up to that's the final end point, and then her going to Andovia. Yeah, again, spoil alert. So I'm gonna spoil the end of the last book, but let's
how dare you.
I know. And we said it will contain spoilers, just not this quickly. But I mean, that's kind of what I'm seeing as we're going through is like when I look back at reading all 5 of these, it's like, oh, it's showing that she had humanity, and she had some semblance of a goal and her person. I was being like, I'm the best, I'm the toughest, and I'm going to be heir, and everything's going to be cool, and, you know, just F everybody else, and I just get to wear pretty things and be sort of shallow materialistic, to kind of just being broken is kind of what it leads to. And that's kind of where I think when Dorian and Kaol find her is she's that both broken and hardened person who's just like, I'm just not going to care about anyone but myself, because that's clearly going to end in disaster. So that was my whole entire take of this whole series, because like I said, we're not going to get super witch heavy. We're going to get a small snippet in the next one, because I don't know how much we really need to talk about the Pyre Lore, except the fact that this was the beginning stages of Selena pissing a bunch of people off who later on come to fight with her. And also her development of a relationship with Sam. Because, yes, later on, the Pirate Lord, you know, joins up with Aelin, you know. But, yes, there is definitely that bad blood that starts out. And I will say this. I had 2 thoughts after leaving this book. And I can extrapolate on them later. But Erebin and Elena can go to hell. Like, I am shocked in the case of Aerobin that when she, like in the third book, when she, when Lysandra kills Aerobin in his sleep.
Yeah.
And she, and Selena, and or Aelin goes in there, or was the fourth one? It was, it goes in and like chops Aerobin's head off. It's like, just checking. I'm surprised that she didn't and just like, that was a great scene, by the way. I am surprised after reading all of the Assassin's Blade novellas that she also didn't just like take like a huge shit on his body, because he deserves so much worse than just having been decapitated after being killed. Like, what he did was so awful. And the other way I'd say, like, the Elena, the one who kind of set this path and everything, because she's so in love and everything. I don't remember if it was Elena or not. I will never be able to pronounce these names. But, you know, the one who's like, oh, and I will make it so that Aerobin finds her in the river and stuff. And I'm just like, could you have not, like, convinced Ma and Pa Kent to find Selena in the river at this point? Because, dear God, she could have grown up a farm girl at this point. It might have been better.
Thanks, Selena. Hashtag thanks, Selena.
Yeah, I'm just, like, because at first it's like, she's not even mentioned in this book series, but I'm like, man. The one person she had to convince to go for a walk and find this half-drowned girl had to be him. It couldn't have been anybody else.
Right?
No, it had to be a sociopath. Congratulations.
I mean, I guess, like, if you want to look for the silver lining or the positive whatever, he did turn her into this badass assassin so she can kill a motherfucker.
Oh, yeah. I do see that silver lining, but at the same time, it's like, God damn it. Like, there's so many things she should have done to his body when she saw it. Like,
she, like, couldn't have just, like, had the master assassin find her.
She should just kick the two guys out. So, like, I got stuff I need to do, and it's going to be really gross.
But no.
Just chopped his head off. It's like, no, he deserved a lot more.
He really, truly did. And he, in the assassin in the Pirate Lord, she's, it's like, I'm trying not to get into too many quotes because, like, I don't want this thing to be, you know, gone forever. But it says, but she'd been 18 and desperate and had gladly taken a job that offered only a few coppers and a miserable little bed in a broom closet beneath the stairs. And I was thinking, she's living that HP lifestyle, man. She's got that Harry Potter life going.
You're a wizard, silly. Oh, whoops, sorry. Wrong owl. What? Go to sleep, child.
If she sees an owl in there, she's probably going to try to kill it.
We keep sending her owls and they keep piling up outside her house. Some of them are on like skewers outside cooking over a fire.
We think she's sending it as a message. I don't know.
Hagrid's been missing for the last 6 months. We don't know where he's been.
Oh, but yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. But yeah, so she's like in this, she's just kind of the badass that won't let anybody really in. And you know, no wonder.
Oh yeah. But, I mean, she's also basically taught not to let anybody in from Aerobin, and then he kind of makes a point to really not let anybody in. So,
yeah.
But
and I am so sorry. My my Kindle books got all the notes got all mixed up, and it was Irene who was
living under the closet. At first, I was like, I'm pretty sure that was Irene, but. Yeah, no, she still had the Harry Potter owl thing. So.
Yeah, Irene was living the Harry Potter lifestyle, so sorry about that.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, I missed something. I was like, I was going to go along with it for a second. I was like, well, we are going to talk about Irene soon, so maybe that's it. It's like, yeah.
Yeah, because they also say, like, she was, she was just, like, barely a week from turning 17. And I was like, wait a minute. Wait, is she going in reverse?
What's happening? Yeah, no, because Selena just turned 16. So, yeah. And I guess what we're getting into is, because, as I said, the Pyro Lord thing is, it's the building of,
Rolf.
Yeah, of Rolf, and also the relationship between Selena and Sam. And then you get the assassin, the healer, which is the second one, which, as we learned in Tower of Dawn at the end, Selena, Aelin had given Irene the money that she needed in order to go become a healer. And Kael figures out, he's like, oh, look at this. You're going to meet the person I used to have sex with. She's actually the queen.
You're going to meet your Eskimo sister. You already did. Yeah.
Well, and they also, I will say this. The one thing that got me from the assassin, because this is probably the shortest of the novellas. Like, this one was like, what? 6 chapters long. I think the other ones are at least like 8 to 12. So it wasn't like a long thing, but you got like Irene living, as you said, the Harry Potter life. yeah. Except with a more touchy-feely boss in the bad sense, not the good sense. Yeah. And she's just trying
bad touch.
Bad touch. Really, really bad touch. And she's just trying to like save up money to get to the oh god, my mind just went blank on what the place is called. She's trying to get to the
the desert with the the sanctuary with the tour.
That's what I was thinking.
Irene is
because Selene is there at the bar that Irene's working at. And of course she notices that Irene's employer is like stealing her tips and part of her wages, and you know, it's just taking all of Irene forever. And this is also where you learn that Selena, in the matter of like less than an hour, somehow taught Irene a whole bunch of defense mechanism moves.
Yeah. I mean, she turned her into a badass in an hour or two.
Because that's what they talk about in Tower of Dawn, is Irene actually seems to know like some kind of defense. It's like, oh, I guess she spent some time with Selena and everything. It's like, oh no, she spent like about like an hour with her.
But like, I remember reading through that part and thinking, oh, that was Aelin.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Like, well, I mean,
they keep talking like you don't know, and it's you're like, yeah, it's Aelin, right? Like, uh-huh. Yep, Aelin. Yeah.
Well, and I guess maybe to be fair or a little bit fair, I'm not sure when each of these novellas was written, but yeah, no way it goes. It's Aelin. It's what's all Aelin. So it's always Aelin. Somehow she is touched everybody who's been a key player in this life. Aelin. Excuse me.
Well, I mean, like, we hadn't even read the novellas yet, and it was still like kind of obvious.
Oh yeah, and Tower of Dawn. Yeah, no, it was like, okay, yeah, we know where this is going. But yeah, like when I saw like how much training she actually got, I'm like, I don't know if that would have been sufficient.
Yeah, and now she's like training other, like the other
girls
ladies
in Tower of Dawn. Yeah, well, I mean, she has Kael to help train in defense.
MC Special K.
Yeah, special C. But yes.
Oh, you're right. I'm thinking of Kael as the vegetable.
It might be more useful at that point.
K-hole. Okay.
So you're about to say kayfabe.
But I think she spends like a night with her until dawn.
Yeah, but I was even barely in it, because like Selene is off to the desert after she's had the shit kicked out of her by Aerobin because of the whole freeing the slaves thing, and he sends her to the Silent Assassins Guild to learn from them and get a letter from their master. But
and at this point she's 17. But
oh yeah, yeah. It's I was trying to think. There was like something else that I want to address. Oh, with because what Selena gives Irene is she also gives her like a bunch of money to get over there, and there's also the
she gives her the a jewel.
Yeah, and they yeah. mentioned this in Tower of Dawn too. I'm like, I wonder if this is important. You somehow keep saying she never could get rid of it. She's still holding on to it. I'm like, uh-huh. Mm-hmm. How's that air traffic controller like just kind of like really signaling you that it's okay to land?
Yeah. Yeah. The I don't get me wrong. I love Sarah J. Maas. I love the books, but there are many things in there that like you could tell that she's trying to be like kind of sneaky about it. But you're like, it's like you were saying, like she may as well have like those like airplane navigator lights going.
Oh yeah, no, it's like they're lighting up and they're basically like, you know, a little to the left, a little to the right, yeah. Full coming in, stop you there.
Exactly. Oh
yeah, it's again, and I like her writing too. It's and I like her storytelling, but yeah, it is one of those things where I'm like, okay, this is not going to be that big of a surprise when we find out that this is important. So mm-hmm. yeah, that's just my personal opinion. It's like I said, a little too on the nose there. But yeah,
well, so, and I feel like in the Assassin and the Healer, it's the next step in her kind of evolution, and she starts to look more outside herself, and she's still kind of surly and still kind of arrogant, and she's proud of, like, it even says, like, she's been proud of her status as his chosen heir, his being Arabin. And always flaunted it. But now she's kind of pissed off because, like, here she is, Adeline's greatest assassin. And, you know, she's kind of slumming it, teaching this stupid girl how to defend herself against the men. And, you know, it's still kind of, like, she's still kind of an asshole.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, to be fair, she's still arrogant. Like, even up yeah. into, Empire of the Storm, she's still yeah. cocky as shit.
Yeah, she's still cocky, but, like, I think she's just very, very much so in this series of novellas.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Well, and then, so we leave Irene to go and be a healer. And then mm-hmm. meet Kaol, hate him, love him, marry him. You know, and then we follow right. Selena into the book The Assassin in the Desert, which is where she goes and trains with the Silent Assassins.
But first, I wanted to point out that in The Assassin and the Healer, not only is she like pissy about basically having to slum it and, you know, being sent to the mute assassins in the desert, or the silent assassins, but she's not only pissed off about it, but she's also getting kind of murdery. She's like leaving the jewel out in like for people to see because she wants someone to try to steal it.
Oh, so yeah, when she's in that them. Bar, she's just like, I'm drunk, and I'm going to see if you're going to try to steal it, and then I'm going to fucking kill you.
Yeah, basically.
She's drinking, too. She's also drunk.
Yeah. And it said, so it was only a matter of time, really, before one of them tried to rob her, and before she decided she was bored of fighting only with fists and feet, she glanced by the sword at her side. It glinted in the tavern's dank light. And it says later, Selena trudged up the narrow stairs, listening for any thieves or cutthroats that might be waiting. To her disappointment, the upstairs hall was dark and quiet and empty. So, like, she's almost literally itching for a fight, and she wants to kill people. And she's like, but still, like, she's stuck here teaching a girl how to defend herself, and she's just like, ugh, ugh, whatever, could I be guess. Murdering. Yeah, exactly.
Hashtag could be murdering.
We ought to put that on a shirt. I could be murdering right now. Sad face. But I'm sorry.
Prayer yeah, hands. Sorry. Anyways, yes, the assassin in the desert, because you have Selena healing from all of her her, and they go into this in the fourth book, but from having the shit beat out of her by Aerobin for freeing the slaves and everything, having to go train with the mute master until she has gained his approval within a month. And it's a desert. It's a desert. Yeah. They make a good point of it being a desert. But you get a few key points here, and you get a couple characters you're introduced to as well. Besides the fact that, again, it's also a gathering of all the people who later on come to fight with Aelin, from the Silent Assassins come to fight with her alongside her. You meet Ansel Briarcliff, which I am.
She's so hot right now.
Ansel.
That Ansel.
Ansel. Well, what's really weird about Ansel is that I'm not 100% certain how she decided to come back and be Selena's friend after how they kind of left each other. I was like, really? Wait, is this like one of those? Because when I actually read the name, I was like, is this the person that comes back and fights with her? Because the very end of the book, because I mean, so Ansel is of Briarcliff is the full name, and she at one point was, I guess it might be described as like a lady of a, I'm not sure, because I'm never sure how they kind of partition out outside of the kingdom, but it'd be like a manor, you know, or some sort of lord with like a thiefdom. It sounded like she at one point came from something of wealth.
Not Bryn of Tarth.
Yeah. Yes, not Bryn of well, it sounds like it sounds like when it goes down to it, she had about as much wealth as oh god, I'm trying to think of some of the ones in Game of Thrones that were more like you have title and name only, but there's a couple of those. Yeah. So but not a lot of money, but the story of her is there's two things that I find interesting, cuz she's come to train to also be a silent assassin, and she really wants to be trained by the mute master because he's the best. But he will only train people that he deems worthy silently. He doesn't seem to talk to anybody for a while. But there are two moments in her life. One is she actually doesn't exactly meet a witch, but she has an incident with a witch. And I don't know, do you want to tell this part of the story, or do you want me to?
Oh, you can go ahead.
Okay. I don't want to take away and be talking all the time. So it's her older sister and her sister's friend go to a nearby tower that supposedly has, you know, it's that whole entire like kids story where it's like, oh, it's all scary up there and there could be a witch. Like they kind of are playing it off on that. And
yeah, nobody goes up to that house.
Exactly. That's where the witch lives.
And that's old lady witch so-and-so's house. Yeah.
Well, and the three of them go, and of course, like, parents have forbidden them to go. Like, don't go there. You're going to get yourself killed. You can get yourself hurt. And of course, what happens is Ansel, so hot, hangs back. Hangs back because she's scared. Because she's supposed to be, like, a little kid. I can't remember how old she's supposed to be. She's supposed to be, like, 6 or 7. And her older sister's, like, a couple years older, and her older sister and her friend go in, and all she hears, Ansel hears, is screaming, and her older sister runs out terrified and just tells her sister to run. And what happened was something had pulled the friend in, and when the men come, her father and obviously the men of this little thiefdom that's there, all they find are nicely clean picked bones of a child. So that is our witch. They find that a witch, and Ansel is kind of also dedicated to hunting and killing witches in her own way. But so that's the story of at least Ansel's encounter with a witch. Not a true encounter, but that was what happened, is they find the bones of a child picked clean.
So. And she tells her that the only way to kill a witch is to cut off her head.
Ansel tells Selena.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and we, of course, obviously nobody has any knowledge of Manon or anything. I am curious, and this is why I was curious about this witch. I am curious if it's either supposed to be Baba Yellowlegs or...
Yeah, that's what I was wondering, because it was supposed to be an Iron Teeth witch.
Or potentially Manon's grandmother.
Who is... pretty much a bitch.
Oh, like, yeah. Yeah. She would totally murder a human child and eat the flesh off grandma. Of its bones. Yeah. Bad grandma. Yeah. Not the candy in the purse, hard candy in the purse, yes. Grandma. We've all established bad grandma.
Not the Afghan knitting grandma.
Oh, yeah. No, I have my lovely crocheted, you know, little Afghan made by my grandmother. That's a good so grandmother. When they make you that Afghan, you've got a good grandmother. I've got some lovely cross-stitch work made by my other grandma. Good grandma. Manon's grandma, bad grandma. Bad
if your grandma.
Your
grandma eats little kids, she might be a bad grandma. She might be a witch.
If the hot chocolate she's serving you somehow is a floating eyeball in it instead of marshmallows... And is it actually chocolate?
She might be a witch. But yeah, she was Ansel, who's so hot right
so
now.
Hot.
she tells Selena all about how the Flatlands used to be part of the Witch Kingdom, and that it was cursed. When the Croachan queens ruled, it was beautiful and lush, but then the three Iron Teeth clans destroyed it all when they overthrew the Croachan dynasty, and she said that they cast a spell that turned the land against any that flew under the banners of the Iron Teeth so that no crops would grow. The Croachan Queen did. And that the animals would wither up and die and the waters would turn muddy. And but she said that ever since the Iron Teeth clans journeyed east toward Adirlin, then... The land became fertile again.
I mean, that's Manon's ancestry right there. I mean, like I said, you're kind of getting like a little bit of a history of also Manon in this case, and yeah. Because like right now, obviously, with the current where we are. You've got Manon actually trying to find any more Croachan witches to join in their cause, because obviously, again, as we say, established, bad grandma. Bad grandma.
Bad Grammy.
Bad grandma. Not naughty grandma, just bad grandma. But you've also got, because Ansel has two stories, obviously, both the traumatic experience she had with... the witch killing her sister's best friend, but also what caused her to seek out being a silent assassin, which was when she was young. I can't remember if it was, I'm trying to remember if it's like a man named Lord Barrack attacked the fortress and killed, Barrack is a different person, sorry. Somebody attacked Ansel so hot, not in this case, Ansel's home and slaughtered her father and her sister while she hid in a cabinet. Mm-hmm. And the only reason she survived was because they kept quiet that she was hiding. So lots
and
of survival.
She has
guilt.
Like a real badass like suit of armor.
Oh yeah. I mean, I think that even Selena though points out that it seems sort of pointless. It just looks cool. I think even Onslow admits it's like, no, this is hot. Like, this is,
but it
cool.
does like save her, end up saving her life.
Oh yeah, but I think that when they talk about it, the kind of wearing that kind of armor in the desert seems
yeah,
ridiculously stuffy would be the best way of putting it.
Well, and at this point, Selena is still selfish and arrogant as fuck. Like, she's going to like, she sees this trip to the Silent Assassins to be trained by the mute master. She sees it as a huge punishment, and she's just like, what the fuck do they have to teach me? Like, nothing.
It turns out Selena can't run through a desert. Yes! Which she really can't do.
She has no endurance in the desert. And even that, she's just like, I'm wasting my time, like, trying to run through the desert when I should be being trained by the master. And she's bitching because, like, they're correcting her posture and showing her how to control her breathing. And she's just kind of like, you know, trying not to, because she has that that need, because Arabin told her that she has to get the letter of recommendation from the master. But if it weren't for that, I think she would be like trying to kick these guys' ass and like and bitching them out. But she's just kind of biting her tongue and like, you know, what the fuck am I doing here? Like, I can kill all of you.
Yeah, it's, yeah, she has like no respect for anybody. What's really great is like when I love the conversations, and yes, conversations between her and the mute master when they actually when he does actually start training, because like, again, it's Ansel's been trying hard to get the mute master to train her to the point where she starts a fake relationship with another trainee there. I think it's called Mikhail is what it looks like. We're gonna go with that. And
that's what I thought.
Even then, it's like she can't
seem to... Joel Mikhail.
Even though she can't get a session, but Selena immediately, it's like, okay, you can go work with the mute master. And he's actually teaching her new stuff. Like, he makes her like watch a snake. She makes her watch an asp to see how it behaves and everything, and to learn how it moves
how
and
it
stuff.
Moves,
and
yeah.
I think my favorite part though in that whole entire train session is when the mute master speaks and he's like, people just assumed I didn't talk and kind of became a snake.
I would like to think that this is the time when, like, you know, everybody there is like talking with an accent except for
mute master
Ansel.
Oh, Ansel.
But then, like, you know, he starts talking and he's just like, hey, how's it going? Like, what? I can talk.
All right, pilgrim. Yeah. What? That's your voice?
You expect
What's
me to have a different accent?
My voice.
That's just racist. Like, yeah, I love it when he starts talking and he's just like, no, they just assumed.
Like... Well, especially since like his son, Ilias, who kind of has the hots for Selena, is also stays completely quiet. He doesn't talk at all through the entire thing. So it's, I'm almost like, do him and his son talk at all? Or does his son just be like, that's my dad. He doesn't talk. He totally doesn't talk to anybody. I'm going to be just like my dad. He does not want it on the secret.
Is Elias's mother, or did he just like, when the master met her, did he just kind of like raise his eyebrows suggestingly? Hey, baby.
If we're probably like, being recorded, I was like, you're about to make like little noises. I'm like, no, that's not silent.
I know. I was thinking that. I can't wiggle my eyebrows and like.
No, you can't wiggle audible. Your eyebrows on an audio recording. I mean, that's great audio right there, Linda.
I got some ASMR for you.
Your folio work is awesome.
But yeah.
Make the sound of raised eyebrows, please. Get like a slide whistle. Whoop. Now yeah. I'm imagining sex just being silent.
We're like, no, I think it's more like, and maybe a little bit of, wait for it.
No, even that's silent. They somehow are able to maintain even the penetration part just completely silent. It doesn't sound like anything.
Like, how do they do that?
Stealth dick.
Like, did we just have sex?
No, you don't even say, did we just have sex? You just do the eyebrow thing just to make sure. Huh? And then he does the eyebrow thing. We're like, yes, we did. You are now carrying my child, all set in eyebrow motions.
And then the internal monologue is, fuck. That's the worst sex ever.
Why am I imagining? I just was about to say, like, the silent version of the Curb Your Enthusiasm theme starts playing. That's just silent. It makes no sense.
Oh, speaking of which, that reminds me of the Teen Witch episode, because the teacher was his uncle, Larry's uncle, in Curb Your Enthusiasm. Oh. And I was so excited to get to that episode and see him. But anywho.
Anyways, so we're not going to talk about that.
Stealthy dicks.
Stealthy dicks. But and also, like, during this time, I mean, because you get, like, a bunch of little things. You get Selena meeting the man who traded some life for spider silk. Mm-hmm. Because Ansel and Selena are supposed to go and, like, make a deal with one of the nearby, I guess, kind of like kingdoms. It's very tenuous on what they're kind of considered. And of course, in the end, Ansel steals two horses because that's Ansel. Yeah. But the time Selena's meeting meets the merchant who's selling some of that spider silk.
Who spent a good deal of time next to next to people's boobs.
Oh yeah,
as a mouse. But sorry.
Oh no, it's okay. It's just
a boob mouse, a tit mouse, if you will. God damn it.
And like I said, I'm just
badly done. Oh,
yes, the titmouse. I forgot he was a. I forgot because he doesn't transform. But yes, the little titmouse. It's like, don't take me out of the pocket yet. I'm almost done. But yes, but he sells Selena some of the spider. He gives Selena some of the spider silk, and he's. It sounds like when he's given this to her, and he gives it to her. It sounds like
he gives it to her.
Not as a titmouse. He kind of has realized that his deal with the spider was a bad deal, since he's, I think at that time, he's supposed to be like 20 something, and he looks like he's in his 40s or 50s. So, again.
Right. Yeah. She's like, she has that awkward moment with him where she's like, you're 20 something?
Have you tried exfoliating?
Wow, dude, you look old. Life hits you hard. He's like, well, I don't look that old, but well, she's just like, damn, you ugly. He's like, well, you look pregnant, so.
Conversations that we wish happened in the book. Yeah. Let's be really clear. That conversation did not happen.
Sarah J. Maas, look us up. We have ideas. We will help.
But yeah, so I mean, because at that time, Ansel's trying, and I don't know what's supposed to be happening between this deal with Ansel and this kingdom, because it sounds almost nefarious. Like the Mute Master sending like pretty girls to go and talk to him. But it never really pays off in that respect, and Ansel just ends up stealing like two of the best horses you could possibly have, and they jump them over a cliff, you know, and don't Thelma and Louise it quite because they make it, but you know, it's Like, that was like one of those things where it's like, I know she's gonna make it as Selena's like, you know, galloping towards this cliff and everything, and you know, they're gonna clear it and all this stuff. I'm just like, it feels if this were another movie or another book, they would have plummeted to their deaths. And it would just pause right as the horses go over.
And that's the story of Selena and Ansel.
So hot.
Living their life their own way.
But then you get back and Selena finds out because she's been drugged and left in the desert, is that Ansel, mm-hmm. Ansel drugs Selena, and Ansel has plans because the really reason she wanted to train with the Mute Masters, she wanted to become a great assassin so she can take revenge on behalf of her family. And so she's getting frustrated and impatient, so she just plans this revenge where the people who she just visited and stole the horses from are coming to basically murder everybody in the Silent Assassins Guild, and Ansel kind of planned the betrayal. And Selena comes back just in time, fights Ansel after Ansel killed her lover Mikhail and almost killed the Mute Master's son. And this is how, again, like, this is one of those things where it's like, it's really weird how like Ansel then decides to join back up with Selena later on as Selena as Aelin, because she literally tells Ansel to get the fuck out of there, and she'll give him like 20 minutes. And of course she gives her friend 21 minutes, and misses shooting her with an arrow. So it's like, again, I don't know how this leaves you on good terms.
Well, I think they mentioned that in the book of like, they don't get along.
Yeah. When they do meet back up, and she does use, Ansel's name when she goes and fights the Vlog.
And I think it was Lord Beric that meets with she meets with, whose like horses they steal and who ends up trying to kill them, because Lord Beric is the one who's he's been trying to get rid of the Mute Master and the Silent Assassins for a while.
Yeah, it's like, I think that the way they say it is they're almost more like annoyances on each other.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not talking, I mean, it doesn't sound like they're like leaving like dog shit on each other's house steps, but it does sound like they're just basically really annoying the shit out of each other, but they're not like killing each other. Now this is the time to actually like take them out.
Yeah, he would send them like baskets with snakes. And he sent like a group of like 30 men or something like that to attack the assassins.
He sends the Mute Master a box of explosive cigars
from Acme.
I was just thinking of all the times the CIA tried to kill Fidel Castro.
Yes, right. They put like itching powder or something. And, oh yeah,
but, it's like just like bad ideas.
But then you get to find out that there's like, they have this really cool line of fire around the, it's like a moat of fire, which is kind of cool.
It is. You have to have defenses. So, but it's it's again, it they don't get along. I get it. But I mean, I think that one of the things they mentioned is that Selena using Ansel's name when she's going into the pit to fight the Vlog was kind of like a call to, hey, you owe me for not killing you. Okay. So you better get your ass out here. Like, that was kind of the understanding of using that. So it was like the clue, because the name would get back to her.
Right.
But yeah, so, and she gets the letter because Selena basically saved the asses of everybody. And she gets to go back to Aerobin because, yeah. Oh, with a lot of money, too. Like, that's really important because she gets to get a lot of money. And she gets to keep one of the horses. So.
Yeah.
And then we get to the assassin, the underworld, which it felt more like it was just kind of placing character pieces. The next one, the assassin, the underworld, than it was actually developing a full-on story. I don't know about you, how you thought about that, but this is the one that like I felt dragged the most of the five novellas.
Yeah, honestly, it. I mean, it. it was interesting to read, but it did certainly drag. I kept checking to see how many pages were left.
Yeah, and this is one where I was like, which chapter am I on? Because you get Aelin, I want to call her Aelin right now because I'm just kind of, because like, it's silly. Selena coming back with her letter from the Mute Master and Aerobin being like, oh, that's nice. Okay, well, there's your room. Also, I'm really sorry for punching you in the face a whole shit ton lot. And but here's your pretty new outfit to help with killing people. Basically, Aerobin gives her the outfit that you get to see her later on, where it's basically has like all the hidden blade compartments and it fits like a glove and it's made for movement and stuff. So it's a present. It's not something that she owes him for. It's a present. It's a gift. And he starts giving her like all this jewelry and, you know, and it is a time when she is kind of questioning what she's always been to Aerobin, because there's never been a sexual relationship, obviously, because Kaol's her first, as we all know.
Yeah.
We're all kind of disappointed in that now.
I know. Yeah, because, like, she's basically, all she does with Sam is really dry hump and make out.
Yeah. Like, yeah, they're like, no, we're going to wait. Notes. How'd that work out for you? Anyways.
Because she's waiting for Jesus.
I don't know what the hell she's waiting for. But
she has a promise ring.
Anytime I think of a promise ring, I think of the movie Teeth. Like, promise rings basically make me think of the movie Teeth. I cannot get past that.
You know, one thing I love the most about Teeth is that it was one of the first movies I saw that had the closed captioning with squelch.
I gotta go back and rewatch that was closed captioned. Because yeah.
There is squelching. It is fucking great. It's amazing. I love it.
Anyway, so Aerobin's like showering her with gifts, and Selena, for her part, is actually worried that Sam also like got seriously hurt or possibly killed by Aerobin, because the last thing she even says that she heard was, you know, is Sam yelling, "Don't you hurt her," as Aerobin is, you know, basically throwing a punch at Selena's face. Right. So, and people are having, and two guys are trying to have to hold Sam back. And this is just and before she's into the red desert.
Basically making him watch Aerobin beat the shit out of her.
Yeah.
And in the assassin in the desert, she's like, because she starts to talk about how Aerobin had been so abusive, and Aerobin raised her, Sam, and, well, you know, he didn't raise Lysandra, but he did like pit them all against each other.
Oh yeah.
And that's what he wanted. And his lessons were harsh and like physically brutal, but with the silent assassins, they like taught one another. And
they respected and cared for each other.
Yeah.
What's all this love and affection they all have? It's weird and foreign.
And I mean, they even just like use the phrase embraced collective wisdom. And they all helped each other. And there's this term I love. It's Ubuntu. And it's all about like a village caring and like looking out for one another and for supporting one another, and it's less of an I and more of a we situation. And I think like this is the first time she's really seeing that, and it's like, wait a minute, they're not beating the shit out of each other to teach each other what
nobody's
is happening.
Burning cigarettes on each other.
Yeah, exactly.
Nobody's calling me a piece of shit.
Yes. And then when the Mute Master teaches her, she's like, wait a minute, what?
Like, why aren't you hitting me? Aren't you supposed to be hitting me?
And you when try he to finally talks, he's like, you know what? He's abusive. He doesn't treat you like he should be. And are you sure you even want to go back? And so I think she's like, for the first time in her almost adult life, she's learning that it doesn't have to be this way and that it shouldn't be this way.
Yeah, it's, well, she's realized she's in an abusive relationship. What that relationship is, she's also questioning, because there are times when Erebin treats her like a daughter. There are times when Erebin treats her like just a compatriot, or maybe not compatriot, but, you know, just a wayward student. And then there are times when, and she mentions this, that it's almost like he wants to be her lover. So it's, and that's what she can't quite, she's kind of sussing out for herself, is what are you trying to be? Because you've got the other issue with Lysandra, who you're introduced to, because she's just about to enter her bidding. So, which we all know that Erebin wins, and wins in a really horrible way. Really gross and grotesque way. Because, you know, because he's been pitting them against each other, including Selena and Lysandra, because Lysandra, you know, she's fawned over, and, you know, she's gets all these pretty things, and she's going to have the highest bidding, and she's very haughty, and she is, Lysandra is obnoxious. It's like you're reading this knowing what she's going, what she is. It's like, man, she is good at playing this up. Holy shit. Because, I'd want to punch her in the face too, Selena. I would.
She's not a cool murder cat yet.
Yes. Or murder sea dragon.
Yes. But yeah, Selena constantly wants to just beat the shit out of her. And once again, I'm sorry, but I had to share the quote. She'd snapped once at Lysandra when they were 13, and Lysandra had snatched a lovely lace fan right out of Selena's hands. The ensuing fight had sent them tumbling down a flight of stairs. Selena had spent a night in the Keep's dungeon for the welts she left on Lysandra's face by beating her with the fan itself. I love that.
Well, she, I mean, something else to, we should say is she does find Sam, and he is, not to put it in a sexual way, he is tending to Lysandra. His punishment is basically to make sure she has everything that she needs, because her bidding's coming up. So his job is to help plan all these parties for her and basically be.
He is Lysandra's shepherd right now, if you want to put it in Sabrina terms.
I was like trying to imagine like the chaperone thing, where it's like, nope, you're not gonna give it up yet. No, no, not
her
with
handmaiden.
Him.
Preparing her for the feast of feasts.
Ew, Erebin, now that's gross.
Oh,
everything's sad now.
Hey, Broomers, this is Linda, and I'm sorry, this is where we went on a little too long, as Jane and I are wont to do sometimes, especially when talking about the Throne of Glass series. So we cut this out into two parts, and we are not going to make you wait for the second part. We're immediately going to release that one, so on you go. And you will probably be happy to know that we get a little more serious in the second part. So we'll see you there.